He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Your prayer is going to the next generation, into your children. They outlive you. Your praying is not in vain. God, because your word says it, there will be fruit. Your faith is not in vain. Your belief in Christ is not in vain. Your seeking God is not in vain. He will move that mountain. He will overcome Goliath. He will see you through. Ask and you shall receive. Have trust and hope in God.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, Your Labor is Not in Vain, and is from the sermon series, Answers for a Confused Church. Pastor Shane reminds us of the faithfulness of God and that He is trustworthy to complete His good and perfect work in us through Christ. Be encouraged today to walk in the love of Jesus, holding on to the truth that God who loves you is working all things together for your good. Be filled with the overflow of the Holy Spirit and give thanks in all your circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. We are excited to announce the return of our Saturday night church services to Lancaster Stadium every Saturday this summer at 6:45 p.m. beginning June 12th and running through the month of August. The only exception is June 26th. There will be powerful worship along with life-changing messages. And if you need prayer, motivation, hope, and encouragement, I hope to see you every Saturday this summer beginning June 12th at 6:45 p.m. at Lancaster Stadium.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
In the 1990s, I borrowed my friend's Mustang and I hit that nitrous oxide switch and I'm 120 miles an hour down Avenue I. No, that's not good. My point is, that drives me to God even more because I look at my past. It wasn't for the grace of God. So some of you need to stop beating yourself up about your past and thank God that He saved you and set you free and get back on the right path and get off the wrong one. Isn't that so true? The enemy of our soul will use our past. But those who've been forgiven much love much. And it's funny, early in the morning, 6 a.m. worship on Sundays, sometimes a dozen people at the altar. It's an incredible experience. You'd be amazed at what some of those people used to be. A couple felons, hardcore bikers, thieves, robbery, women that were giving themselves up to anybody that would date them, and just the brokenness on the altar, but because of that past, they're worshiping. Oh, it's hard to get the Pharisee to worship. It's hard to get those who have never had to pick themselves up out of the mire clay. And that song we sing, the resurrection, He is resurrecting me. It's so I don't encourage you to have a past, but if you do, it's something you're not proud of, you can use that to drive you more to Jesus and hold on tightly because of what He brought you through. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. Just wondering if I should edit the schooner story out of the sermon. Oh, I'll never forget that. I woke up the next morning going, when you crash going that fast, you are not going home. But Paul seems to be here boasting what the Lord has done. Did you know that's okay if your heart's right? You don't go around boasting about what you have done, but you boast in what God has done. And I've been accused sometimes, oh, Shane, that sounds arrogant. Oh, your past, you did this. No, but look at what God has done. There's boasting, and look at what God has done. It's okay to tell people what He's done in your life. And then verse 12, now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now he was probably talking, obviously, to a portion of these people were the Sadducees. And it's easier to remember that because, as they say many times, that they were Sadducees. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So you could always, you guys haven't heard that before? I've heard it like 50 times, and I thought, I don't want to say that. Mainly in the Calvary Chapel movement, Chuck Smith used to say that, and John Corson and Greg Laurie and that group of people. But they would say, well, there's no resurrection. Well, Christ was raised from the dead. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What he's saying there is no one could be raised from the dead first before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to be risen from the dead. He had to conquer. That's why the verse says he conquered hell, death, and the grave. He rose from the dead as the first fruits. Now he can come and bring others with him because he was the first fruits of the resurrection. God raised him from the dead, and he will raise others up when the trumpet sounds at that last call, when Christ returns again. I don't care what your view is on eschatology, meaning the end times. Christ is coming again, and he's going to call his church up, whether the rapture, the pre-mill, the post-mill, the pre-wrath, all these different views. You just have to know he's coming again. Are you ready? And what else you need to know is it might get difficult. It might get challenging. In America, we love this view of the rapture where we're out of here before it gets tough. Have you been following the news at all about the pastor beheaded in Nigeria? The things going on in Africa, Boko Haram, I think it is, and taking Christians. And there's a lot of persecution. A lot of persecution. Now, if Christ is preached, again, that he is raised from the dead, how do those among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? Again, everything hinges on the resurrection. Then verse 33, I'm going to skip to verse 33. Here's some great advice for some of you tonight. Do not be deceived, which means you can be deceived. Anytime the Bible says do not be deceived, they're assuming that many people are deceived, that they're falling away for this very reason. So do not be deceived, verse 33. Evil company corrupts good habits. Want me to say that again? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupt good habits. No matter what translation you're reading, it says this: who you hang out with and what you enjoy will influence you. In Romans 1, it talks about, Paul says that those exchange the truth for a lie. And it talks about men doing things with men and women doing things with women and worshiping the creation and the creator, worshiping the creation rather than the creator God. But then he goes on to say something interesting. And woe be to you who approve of such things. Even though you don't actually do it, you approve of it. And so he's saying here, be careful, do not be deceived in this whole area of the resurrection or theology. Evil company corrupts good habits. And now we think of the word evil, we think of the devil and red and a pitchfork and something that's terrible. And of course, that's true. He's not wearing red or a pitchfork or anything, but evil is evil. But the word, this would be in the New Testament, in the Greek, in the Old Testament, if you look at the word evil, Hebrew, there's the same kind of meaning. It's this, or wickedness. Anything that opposes the will and ways of God. So it's not some huge evil thing necessarily. It's anything that opposes the will and ways of God. And let me tell you this, false teaching often comes in subtly. Nobody's going to go on TV or write blogs or preach sermons and say, hey, by the way, I'm a false teacher or I'm a bad influence. So you have to be careful. That's why he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So what's the answer, Paul? Awake, verse 34. Awake to righteousness. Awake and do not sin. I wish I could say that a little louder to wake some of you up. That's what he's saying there. Awake, get up, wake up. Do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now remember, is he writing to the unbelieving pagans? Not really. He's writing to the church in Corinth, knowing that in that mixed of people, and this is interesting. Maybe many of you don't know this, but I seem to obviously know a little bit of it because I'm talking to people, but there's a lot of people who come in here who are not saved. They're not born again. And I'll ask, I can pray with you. Do you know Jesus? Well, I'm kind of just searching. I'm seeking right now. Just about every Sunday, there's people, guests or people who don't know who Jesus is. And he's saying, I speak this to your shame. There is a God. There is a resurrection. Turn to him. Awake. Awake to righteousness. And God puts it back on us. Wake up, church. Wake up. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue salvation. Listen, God is not a puppet master. If a person comes to salvation, they have to get to a point in their own mind to say, I want to receive that. God doesn't force you and make you. He presents it and says, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden. Take of this and I will give you rest. So we do see here the power of negative influence, and it's not good. Is there something in your life or someone in your life or something going on that is drawing you away from God? Wake up and remove it. Wake up. I talk to people often. Oh man, I got these friends that keep me away from church. Well, they're not friends. Listen, with God, you have to realize something. Ask this question, how bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to remove those influences? Awake, get up, your labor is not in vain. And then we're going to look at verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come? Well, this might answer some questions for you. Here's what happens, verse 42. The body is sown in corruption. In other words, when we die, we go back to the earth. Your body starts to deteriorate. You go back into the earth. It's corrupt. This body is corrupt, isn't it? Without Jesus. There's some corruption in here. The carnal mind, the carnal nature, the flesh. So the body is sown in corruption in the ground, and it's raised in incorruption. So when Jesus comes back and raises the resurrection, the body is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but is raised again in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. When the resurrection comes and there's eternity, there's a powerfulness. There's a dunamis power. You're raised in that power. It is sown as a natural body, but what? It is raised as a spiritual body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. In other words, you got to get rid of this in order to be in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's a change in our body. Now, how that works, what that looks like, you're going to have to ask somebody far smarter than me. I just know that when that day comes, this body, it's actually a tent. And what it is, I believe the body is like a tent. Paul calls it a tent. It's how we live and move and have our being. It's our soul and our spirit. You know, it's who we are. But this body, this flesh that we live out this life in eventually fades and dies, but who Shane Eidelman is doesn't. And that soul, what they call the spirit, the eternal side of life in the Son, now because of I inherit eternal life. That's why he's saying flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It has to be a new body. Verse 51, turn to verse 51. So he's going to say, I tell you a mystery. Now, this is interesting because this early church didn't have the Bible. All these people have questions. They're wondering, well, what's going on? He says, right now, I tell you a mystery. And the mystery is not what we think of. When we think of, oh, a mystery, kind of, it's I'm going to reveal to you something you don't know is what it means. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So this is a portion of verse that people use, let's say the rapture type of view or the Jesus coming again. We do know this, that not everyone will be asleep, meaning not everyone will be dead. Some will, some won't. But when that moment comes and that trumpet sounds in a twinkling of eyes, so quick, this is going to happen. The trumpet sounds and the dead will be raised incorruptible. So those who are in Christ Jesus will be raised up to him. And we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye, that quick. And then I love verse 54. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, you are swallowed up in the victory of the cross. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, which is hell, where is your victory? See, hell and death and the grave have no victory. Jesus overcame them, and because of that, as believers in Jesus Christ, they have no authority over me. A Christian should actually not fear death, because it has no... You're just going to transfer from this body to eternal life with Jesus Christ. There's no fear or anxiety. Now, granted, there's something inside of me, of course. It's like, kind of want to prolong this if I can. I got stuff to do. You know, I'm not really looking forward to how I'm going to die. And we see with the brevity of life, even on Sunday with Kobe Bryant, what a sad situation. That was just so hard to hear with his daughter and the other people. But we just realize the brevity of life, living every day as if Christ were coming or our last day. I mean, there's no guarantee when a heart attack comes and that's the final one, it's over. Or when an airplane crashes or the helicopter or different things, but we have to remember, as believer, we can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Where's your sting? What that means is, where's your power? Where you can't hurt me. Where's your sting at? I follow Jesus Christ. He's already conquered you. And then verse 56, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Okay, here, I'm going to leave you with some advice. You want to get through life? You want to live the victorious Christian life? Here we go. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, you can't do this in your own strength. I've tried. As a type A personality, I'll fix this. I found out that doesn't work. What does work then, Shane? How am I supposed to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? What you do is you surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. As I decrease, He increases. As I humble myself, He fills me with His Spirit. As I say, Lord, I am too weak to do this, and really mean it, He begins to strengthen me. So because of the Holy Spirit, I am steadfast and immovable. What does that word steadfast mean? This is interesting. It means loyal, faithful, committed, and relentless. What I'm preaching, I realized it this week. When I'm preaching to this kind of person. I'm preaching to the person who wants to be loyal and faithful and committed and relentless for Christ. I'm not preaching to the person who just wants to come in and casually try out church. And I don't like this guy because he's too convicting. I'm not going after that. I'm not trying to win popularity contests. I'm not trying to build a big ministry. And what I'm trying to do is get people on fire for God to be steadfast, which is loyal and faithful and committed. No matter what comes, hell or high water, I'm going to be relentless in my pursuit of Jesus Christ. That's how you finish strong. And then what is immovable? It's fixed. It's anchored. It's braced for the storm. We're going to put some shade in between the buildings. And there's probably water lines and gas lines and things. So I told the guys, we're going to have to dig this by hand, probably. And the pillars are like 5 feet deep, big, wide, and then all this concrete for a little bit of shade because the wind gets going. And it has to be something that's immovable, fixed, anchored, and braced for the storm. That's how many people, and you've seen this, they run away from God when the storm comes. It's like, no, you're running the wrong direction. Turn around. My marriage is on the rocks. I'm running to Plan B. I'm running to Seagram 7. I'm running to Schooners. Right? And we run away from God instead of standing there immovable, anchored. Lord, I'm fixed. I'm. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said the storm is coming to everyone. An unbeliever, a believer, the storm is coming. Maybe I should change the title. The storm is coming. Jesus said, if you build your house on my word, not just hear it, but you actually apply it, when the wind comes and the rain comes and the flood beats against your house, it will not fall. Why? Because it's founded. It's grounded. The anchors go deep into the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You stand there no matter what's coming against you, no matter what the culture says, and you stand there in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's how you get through life, immovable. And then because of that, you're always abounding. What does that mean? Fruitful and overflowing. Isn't that interesting? Because you're grounded, you're steadfast, you're loyal, you're fixed. Because of that, you're going to overflow and be fruitful for God. Are you seeing a connection here? And then he goes on to say, your labor is not in vain. In other words, when you do this, your labor is not in vain. There's a man, I wish I would have, I was looking for the story. It was in Australia, I believe. And for years, he would hand out tracts. And he would tell people, do you know where you're going if you die today? They estimate he handed out 100,000 tracts in like 25 years. And he eventually had cancer, I believe, or dementia or something, maybe both. And this pastor kept hearing these people saying, oh, I was converted on this, I think it was the name of a certain street in Australia. Oh, this guy. And he kept hearing the stories of the same guy. So he went and visited this guy and told him all these stories. And the guy began to cry because he said, in 25 years, I never heard of anyone who came to know the Lord because of me. And there was literally hundreds of people. Because later, we plant the seed and we want to see the plant tomorrow. We raise our kids and we're wondering, what happened? Lord, I tried, prayed over them. I brought them to church and I tried to live it out and I tried to model who you, what happened, God? I think this word for us tonight is you're not late. Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Keep plowing, keep moving forward. You will see the fruit of that harvest. Your labor is not in vain. Your praying is not in vain. Amen? Praying is not in vain. Praying outlives us. Did you know that? Your prayers will outlive you. Your prayers going to the next generation, into your children, they outlive you. Your praying is not in vain. See, here's what happens. My labor, my praying, my faith, my seeking, I run into obstacles just like you do. Some results aren't happening, but I'm trusting in God and God alone. God, because your word says it, there will be fruit. Your faith is not in vain. Your belief in Christ is not in vain. Your seeking God is not in vain. None of these things are in vain. So tonight, if there's something, ask him. Ask God and he will move. He will part the Red Sea. He will move that mountain. He will overcome Goliath. He will overcome the armies. He will see you through. Ask and you shall receive. Have trust and hope in God. Listen, I'm not just saying this because, oh, it sounds good. I truly believe this deep within my soul because God has taught me that often I won't see the fruit just yet. Will you still follow me when you don't see the fruit? Will you still love me when you don't see the fruit? Will you still keep praying when you don't see the answer? And we have to say, yes, God, because I love you. I trust you. I don't trust in this economy. I don't trust in the political system. I don't trust in 2020. I trust in you and you alone. And Lord, even if I don't see the fruit I've been praying for, I'm going to keep trusting you until I breathe my last breath. That pleases God. That person is abounding in good works, immovable, unshakable, steadfast, loyal, and faithful. Praise God. And what we do, we're going to remember that Jesus was steadfast, immovable, and always abounding, wasn't he? He went to the cross. He was steadfast. He was immovable for us. And on that wonderful, fateful day, hell was celebrating. The demons were rejoicing. They killed the Messiah. It was done. He's over. But no, no, no. The Bible talks about the ground shaking, the temple being, the veil being torn, and Jesus rose from the dead. And that's why we celebrate communion. Jesus said, when you do this, when you come together, do this in remembrance of me, remembering what I did for you on the cross.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change. Truth does not.
He's calling, wake up, child.
such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.